Welcome to the Christian Center Church Podcast. If you'd like to sow into this ministry, you can do so at the link below. Thank you for joining us, and we hope the message today will bless you.
Amen. Give them that big hand clap of praise. Glory! You may be seated. Amen. This morning I want to minister a little while. What of the Ten Commandments? You know, the Ten Commandments is whether they know it or not, the whole world uses the Ten Commandments. Well, they use a great portion of the Ten Commandments, you know. And lots of times I heard a guy tell me one time, he said, you know, I believe if you can keep the Ten Commandments, you can go to heaven. I said, I don't believe you can keep them. They hard to keep, can you say amen? The Ten Commandments and the law, they hard to keep. You need a Savior and a Master, amen, to keep you right, amen. And right after Israel came out of Egypt, God gave them Ten Commandments. It was a little while later, and they had their Jewish tradition. They had their traditions of their father, and something like a 613 laws. That's a lot of laws to keep up with. You know, Jesus, you know, he said, if you break one, you broke them all. Amen. So I would say we probably broke one or two by now. Can you say amen? And you know that there's just specific laws, and the laws deal with the first four deal with relationship with man and God, and the last six deals with man. You know, six is man's number, it's a number of man, and he has six. He needs one extra one dealing with men, amen, or people dealing with people, amen. You know, that's a crazy thing if you think about it. That people, you know, they'll see the way people act and what people do, and, you know, they'll equate that with God. Like God didn't do nothing. God let that happen. God did this. And like these men have more power than God. That's not true. Our God is in control. Yeah. I say our God is in control, amen. If we let him, he's in control, amen. And today, the commandments of God, the Ten Commandments, are just as important today as they were the day that God gave them. You know, and you know it comes with this relationship thing. And whenever you have a relationship with him, he tends to ask more of you. You know, he doesn't ask a Muslim to have no God before him. He doesn't ask the Buddhist to have no God before you. But he asked you to have no God before him. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? You know, the commandments can be seen as a moral law, and it's everywhere. It needed in the world, and if we just obey that, we would have a lot better world, amen. But who y'all know that in the end time, the world will get darker and gross darkness, and the people get worse, and people will be worse than they ever were, amen. But that doesn't mean that we can't be on our game and obey God and do what God says. Can somebody say amen? Now, you know, when you get to the Ten Commandments, you get things and stuff slips in, and they say that Moses wrote the law a second time. No, Moses didn't do it. He whittled out, the tablets, but God wrote again. That's what the scripture said. I've heard people say, Moses had to go write them. That's not true. It's not true. All you got to read is Exodus 10 and 1 through 5, and you'll find out that he hewed them out, and he got the box ready, and he took them, and God wrote again that he did the second time. He wrote again as the first. It's what the Word of God says. You know, and so they must have been important enough for God to have to bring them to man twice. You know, there's very few things you read in the Word of God that God did twice or did over or corrected in a way like that. When, you know, Moses came down and saw the children of Israel playing, having a good time, he just broke the commandment. You know, Moses was the first man to break all the commandments at one time. He throwed them down, broke them all at one time. I know y'all thought he was from Doosan, but he's not, amen. And you know that the Lord told him to ride him again, you know, or bring him, and God would ride him again. Then that's the importance of it. You know, he said that thou shalt have no other gods. He said thou shalt make no other idol or have no idols. He said that thou shalt not misuse the Lord's name, or we know it's take it in vain. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Here's a good one. Honor thy mother and thy father. I talked to my little niece yesterday. Well, she's kin to us, so she's not little. And I was talking to her about parents. I was talking to her about curses. I was talking to her about honoring her mother and her father. Amen. We'll get there. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not lie. And I know some people got up this morning. Amen. You shall not lie. neither shall thy boss, and one other, when he wrote it again, one other place it says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Now, what's the difference in a lie, and what's the difference in a false witness? Well, a false witness brings you to enter in for truth or not. It brings you to swear by, to say by. You enter in a different way. And it said, and thou shalt not covet, amen. You know, that first one is that thou shalt have no gods before me. You know, how many of you know it's easy to get a god before Jesus if you're not careful? Amen. Oh, rest become a god. I'd go down to church, but I just feel bad, and the Lord knows what to do. And by 11:30, they need to go get some golfing done. They feeling bad. I'm not hating on the golfers. The other ones went fishing. The other ones went to Hardee's. The other ones went somewhere else, you know. You know, there's a story told in China, and the story goes like this in China, that it had an exhibit, and in that place it said the American God. Do you know what it was in a neat little frame? Was a $100 bill or a dollar bill. The God of America. You know, that a lot of people serve that almighty dollar. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? You know, my mama used to say that almighty dollar is what she'd say, amen. And, you know, it's strange that we live in a time that people ought to know. Nature tells you to self that there is a God. There is a true God. There's something. Can somebody say amen? There's something. You know, and I used to not get with people, and people would say, you know, well, they got to hear the gospel. Well, the Bible said they'll say the gospel before Jesus comes, everybody's got to hear the gospel. That's not true. He said he's going to preach to every tongue and kinder. When he gets it out through the nations and gets it out where they're responsible for it, we're responsible for it, that's a done deal. Can you say amen? But you know, yes, we serve a God that you can tell who he is. Amen. Nature itself tells you that we serve a supreme God. The order of the universe tells us that it is. Whenever you just look into science and the way things grow in this life and genetics and all these things, you find out that we must serve a true and living God that has a plan. Amen. You know, some people worship pleasure. Some people worship philosophy. Y'all know anybody has a good philosophy job? Anybody in here got a good philosophy job? Well, Jerry, I got a philosophy job. And I just talk about flowers. And man, I'm making money. I want you to know. If I don't run out of flowers, I'm going to be rich the time I get there. You just don't hear that about philosophy. But you know, some people worship something else. You know what it's called? It's called politics. The God of politics. They'll split family members. They'll split a church. They'll split, I don't mean this one in two. I mean, they'll just get on out of here because you're not one of them knights like they are, whether they're Obama knight or a Trump knight or whatever they are. But they'll quit with that. That's more important than their relationship with God. Being right with politics. Come on. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Philosophy, worship of the flesh. You know, some people rather do what they want to do instead of what God wants to do. Amen. He said, you have no other God before me. Simply put like this, in reference, he wasn't just talking about stone. He wasn't talking about a long time ago. He's talking about no other gods. He said, you shall not worship them. I mean, you know, some people worship power. Some people's God is power. Some people's God is money. Some people's God is education. Now, believe it or not, some people's God is love, and they feel like they love, and that's where they're going, and it's more important. Let me tell you, one loves you so much, he gave his life for you. Amen. There's no greater love have a man than he lay his life down for you, and Jesus laid it down. Can you imagine that God came and in the form of a human being and gave his life for you and me? Isn't it amazing that he restored by one man's fall? I mean, y'all know Adam fell. He took us all down with him. But you know, when Jesus raised from the dead, he brought us all up with him. Amen. It's good news. Amen. We serve a true and living God. And he said, you shall have no other gods before me. Now, he didn't say get some in line. He said, thou shalt have no other God. And he means that it's taking the place. You know, lots of times people let things take the place of the true and living God. Amen. That, you know, some people let worry get hold of it. I heard somebody say this one time. I said, well, you can't worry about it. You know what she looked at me and said? She said, well, somebody's got to worry about it. I just didn't know. I mean, you know, amen. Yeah, we live in the day. He said no other gods. He means no other gods. He means at no other time. He means at no other place. He means no worship. Come on. You know, we live in a day of hero worship. Man, I got to be careful with no other gods. I'll get into idols and I'm going to get over there. But you know, we live in the day of hero worship. We live in the day of that you know, I thought that, well, I figured after, what's his name, Kobe didn't rise after the third day, I didn't think he was coming back for sure after that. But people looked for him and people wanted him, amen. It's 28 days from the 28th day that Kobe died. He think to come, no, he ain't about to come back, amen. You know, a lot of people quit basketball because he died. You know, a lot of people quit and got him another team because he died. Their God died. And now you see another little God there, little God gesture they'll make. It's like when somebody like makes a goal or a football touchdown or whatever they got there, they'll do this to them. What you think that is? Whether it's real or not, it's mimic, it belongs to the true and only God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, and you ought not play like you got one. They ought not act like they got one. There's only one true and living God. Amen. You want to thank somebody, thank your mama. Amen. Thank your daddy. Amen. Thank your mama. Thank your daddy for not killing you. Amen. Because I know it was days, it was close. Amen. Son, you just don't know how close you come to getting killed. What'd I do, Mama? Amen. You know, but we might have the impression that God is in your life and have this impression that God doesn't want anything else in your life. I mean, you understand that God wants to be first in your life. Amen. I mean, you know, God's not a feeling. Come on, some people, you know what? They'll do this, they'll tell me, you know, and trying to be led by the Lord. And I think you can't. How many of you believe you can be led by the Lord? How many of you know it's really not that hard to be led by the Lord? How many of y'all know he'll lead you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake? He'll lead you the right way. He won't lead you a left way, another way. And the more you know him, you know the more about the God that you serve, and that's the way he do business, amen. Now, the God I got, he's not a God that brings stuff up after he forgive you. You see, amen. Now, I know people want you to suffer for what you did. Oh, y'all got quiet. Write that down, Sister Wanda. They want people to suffer. They act like they don't listen to me this morning. Brother John, they want people to suffer sometimes, don't they? Yes, sir. I'm glad Brother John back in the back. Amen. I got me some help. Yeah, he's been a good boy since he got out of the hospital, I bet you. Amen. Taking his vitamins and saying, yes, ma'am. I mean, praise the Lord. Amen. You know, if we really get to that place and put God first, the devil will see that he's first. The world will see that he's first. You know, the Apostle Paul said, and on several occasions he would write, and he would tell them to have a good report with those there out. One place he said, more importantly, or as importantly, or much needed, he said to have a report with those that are there out than those that are therein. In other words, you ought to act better with the world. Don't act like the world. Act like the church when you go into the world and put God first when you go. Yeah. And if they don't let God there, you ought not go there. If they don't let... Yeah. I said, but yeah, I just don't know. He said, you'll have no other God besides me. Now, he seemed like he's turning on business now. You mean to tell me you want to be first? He does. You mean to tell me he's going to be first? He is. You know, some people, you know, sometimes I just don't know. Well, you better get to know him. He is first. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And that's his mind is to be first. He'll have no other place. He won't have second, and he surely won't have last. Amen. You know, when I take up an offering, I tell people, put God first and you'll never be last. And I believe that, Pastor. I believe that. Yeah. I believe if you'll put him first, you'll never be last. Yeah. But you see, some people equate first with getting what they want. Some people equate first, come on, of being always the want. Let me tell you, when you got God first, he'll tell you some things you don't like to hear. Oh, I didn't know you was talking to me, Jesus, when you said that. Yeah, he was, amen. You know, it's obvious that the first commandment here is to put God in your life only and him first in your life, and that he might reveal himself. You know, I'm talking about the same God that revealed himself to Israel on Mount Zion. I believe that Jesus is the same God that revealed that he came from heaven. I'm telling you, the number one God, there is no God but me. There is only one God. Come on, somebody, help me. This morning, there's the Father, there's the Son, the Holy Spirit, but there is one God. One God is going to take one place, and that's first place, amen. Because it had none before me. So he's telling it, and he just starts out meaning business. He said, let me tell you what. I'm going to put it in Miller translation. You ready? Have no gods before me, because I'm God, I'm boss, and that's the only way I'm going to have it. Boy, he talk like he God, don't he? Yeah, he do. You know, let me tell you where God is this morning. You ready? Let me tell you where he is. He's right where we placed him. You know, Brother Jerry, I just don't feel the Lord like I used to. Why? You know, Brother Jerry, I just don't feel like me and the Lord closest with. Why? Brother Jerry, I don't know. It seems like everybody is happier and closer to the Lord. Why? Well, we know he's not a respected person. He could, as sweet as Brother Micah is, God doesn't love him more than me. I just want to let you know, Brother Micah, why we here this morning. He never thought no such thing. But if that's true that God doesn't love Brother Micah more than me, he don't love me more than you. And come on. You know what? Now listen to this. How is it? How amazing is this? That you put God first, and he's going to be, he will be, and you will be first. How you mean that? Well, listen to him. Because he's in your life. He's in you. You give him first place, so he's in you. You must be in first place. So if you put him sixth, he's going to be in sixth place. Y'all listening to me? Amen. He said that the second commandment said that thou shalt have. Did I even tell y'all where those were at? I don't know if I even remember. Well, it's in the Bible. I think I lost my note. Somebody find it and read it when you get home, amen. It's in Exodus. I'm sorry. I guess I left. I had a printer malfunction. I guess it left out my scripture. 20. All right, good deal. He said, number two, he said, you shall have no idols. How many of you know that idols are anything carved, anything that comes up? How many of you know it's anything in heaven, anything under heaven, anything on the earth, anything under the water? You know, sometimes people get idols and they put them up, amen. Now they got a real popular show for many years was American Idol. Now I'm telling you, some of them never going to make it. I heard some of them, and they never going to make it, amen. And he said that thou shalt have no carve, nothing like an idol. You know, an idol is anything that you put up and put first in front of God. He said, well, you're talking about him being first. Now he's telling you, you know, why would we do that? People love things that are tangible. People love things that they can rub and kiss and put and lay out. And well, here we go. Y'all don't get too religious on me now. Exodus 20:4, you're correct, Brother Mike. He said that thou shalt not make a graven image of any likeness or anything in heaven or above or earth beneath. He said, and under the water. You know, Jesus said that they that worship me must worship me in what? Spirit and in truth. He said, I'm going to take you to another level. And I'm going to tell you, amen. How many of y'all know Jesus fulfilled the law? I said, how many of y'all know Jesus fulfilled the law? Amen. You know, all that God has, all that he cares about can be found in Christ. Can somebody say amen? You know, but God's a jealous God. He don't want you to have something and look at it and think it's in first place or second place. But people want something tangible. They want to look at it. I got news for you. You can get you one of them nice little crosses with Jesus on it, but he ain't on it. Can you say amen? I want you to know that baby's empty. I want you to know that you can do that and you can rub things and kiss them. That is not what you need to rub and kiss the word of God. And you need to reach to him and get physical things out of the way that just cause this. They become something to people that if this is right, I must be right with God. Hey, look at this. If this physical thing is correct, I must be correct with God. That is untrue. It is a faith issue to walk with God. Amen. You don't need anything to confirm who you are, amen. You know, and you know that they represent, you know, I mean, you know, God is just a jealous God. Right? Some people say, man, they sound like God needs a little therapy. I got news for you. He's going to run it his way, or you ain't going to play. He's going to be boss, or you're going to be lost. Had a guy, I tell you, one of the intelligent people, good, love kids, great guy. He would never surrender to the Lord. You know why he would never surrender? Because he wanted to be boss. He wanted to be in control. Do you see how out of control he was? Do you see how out of control his life was? Everything that he was, thinking that he could do it better than a living true God? No life situations. But in his case, I believe it was mistakes and condemnation. You see, some people's God is condemnation, thinking that the God of forgiveness can't overcome what they've done. Are we going on? Psalmist said this way. Psalm said at 135, 15 through 17. He said, the idols, the nations are silver and gold and men works of their hand. They have mouths, but they do not speak. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Neither is there any breath in their mouth. You know what he wants? God wants something that we can worship in truth. Can you say amen? You know, idols that people create, they can't do anything. But we live in a, isn't it amazing that you have an invisible God? How many believe he's invisible? But you can see a manifestation of him in the spirit and him with the brethren and where we are. Isn't it amazing that we serve an all-powerful God that you can't see in the natural eye, but people want a worthless idol that they can see, that they can rub, they can hug, they can lay down with it. Can you say amen? See, Israel's always been in trouble. They'd always get them some icon, and they gonna run. You know, they had to get rid of the brass snakes in the wilderness because they began to worship them. Amen. Yeah. What is that? Oh, these are the brass snakes. When the children of Israel, the snakes was eating them up in the wilderness, that God said, make it, and said, when you put it up, the people look unto it and they'll live. They got that thing and they kept on working. Why? Because it was tangible. It was a physical. It became an idol to them, and they had to get rid of it. We all in Jerusalem is a little flakes of the cross. All in Jerusalem, a little bit of this left, a little bit of this icon, a little bit, a little old bitty thing, something another, and people bow down to it and worship it and wouldn't know Jesus if he passed by. What's going on? You know, bow down means to give homage. It means to give over to. It means, you know, he said nothing. He said, you don't bow down to anything in heaven. You don't bow down to anything in the earth. You don't bow to anything under it. You don't worship anything. There's a true and living God that exists above the heavens. Can you say amen? You know, people tell me, say, well, you know, God created the heavens. He could live in them. Let me tell you, God didn't need the heavens to live in. The Bible says, now if I believe the Bible says that Jesus had seated beyond the heavens, beyond the known universe. Above that, he doesn't have to have the universe and stars. Well, how do you know that? Well, I know it because I understand the scripture. He created the heavens and the stars and the light and the earth. Y'all listening to me? Pre-existent, only exist. Had a grown man ask me yesterday. No, it was the day before yesterday, man. Grown man, been preaching the gospel for I don't know how many years, asked me where God came from. I said, well, have you not been on the front row? Where have you been? No, there's a spirit of error slipping up. A spirit of error is trying to get him dragged off. Look, y'all listening to me? Ain't no way you missed that in 35 years. That God's eternal, self-existent. And let me explain it this way. The word come from and time, that's a you thing, me thing. That's an earth thing, man thing. God didn't need when. God don't need where. God don't need how. God is. He is above all things. He is before all things. He is more powerful than all things. And you know, but some people want to get them something that looks like something, and they want to hold it. You know, and they got all kinds of gods. They got the golfing gods. They got the fishing gods. Well, may the fishing gods smile upon us. I hope they don't, and I hope your boat gets a hole in it. Well, it's got a plug in the back. We'll just pull it and we won't damage you. Isn't that amazing that we have an invisible God, but he warns against somebody having a tangible, seeable God? Well, it could be anything, amen. You know, people make it out of anything. He said, but idols can't speak. How many of y'all know God can speak? They got ears, but they can't hear. How many of y'all know God can hear? How many of y'all know that he's got a mouth that he can speak? How many of y'all know that God can do all that a false idol, a stick can't do, God can do greater? Can you say amen? But I serve the same God can take a stick, throw it in the water, and make an axe head swim. Said, where fell it? He borrowed a man's axe. Remember, he borrowed a man's axe, and the head come off and fell in the water? He said, what you gonna do, my Lord? What we gonna do? He just wielded him a stick. Throwed that stick out there, and that axe head swam. I serve a supernatural God. I serve a God that can walk on water and make an axe swim. I guess you could say the axe cut his way through the water. Amen. You know that people want something physical. They want something they can hold on to. People want something they can look at. They got that and put it outside. You know, they'll put them outside and put a group of them out there and put a little light on them. That if you really loved Joseph and Mary and Jesus that much, you would have them in the house. They wouldn't be out in the rain, the cold, and the snow. And a little burnout light that you forget to fix every time. But we got to have one. Mama had one. Grandpa had one. Cousin had one. Isn't that crazy? But just think about that. Just think about how much faith it takes to believe in a God that you can't physically see, but somebody get one that's a bonehead catfish, and they got that, and they think that's going to help them out. Amen. They got golfing gods. They got all kind of gods. They got fishing gods. They even got crawfish gods. We praying for the crawfish god to fill the ponds of them. Oh, they joking when they say it, but they really mean it. Lord. You know, I go fishing lots of times. I say, Lord, you give us dominion over the fowl there, fish in the sea, and I'm not greedy. I don't need them all, amen. I need some of them. I don't need them all, amen. You know, they ain't that amazing. And 3, he said that you shall not in 20 and 7, he said, and neither shall you take the Lord's God's name in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain, or takes his name in vain, takes God's name in vain. To take God's name in vain is to use it like a curse word. Is to take God's name in vain is to use it without respect. And this is one of the biggest things I see. I don't see so much as somebody trying to make some other God. And I'm talking about in the church. Now we're talking about church. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor. Oh, I can do better than that. Said, neighbor. He's talking about the church. Not folks outside. He would do such a thing. You know what I mean? But he said, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord thy God will not hold him guiltless who takes the name of the Lord in vain. To take the Lord's name in vain is to do it without respect, to do it. And some people use it as a curse word. Jesus, I wish they'd quit. That's the Lord's name in vain. And I'm telling you that they're in bad shape. I step back when they do that. Just in case he wants to send one of them lightning bolts down. I figure just far enough, just a little blood and guts, I'll be all right. I ain't going to hold on to them. Take the Lord's name in vain. Oh, Mary, Jesus, Joseph. Take the Lord's name in vain. Amen. Now, I don't believe Mary's God, because Mary said that the Lord would deliver my soul, or the Savior of my soul. She said that she was. She said that it was. And Jesus told her, said, woman, he said, don't be starting up nothing. I'll tell you when my time comes. She said, whatever he says, do it. She relinquished. She give over to him. I mean, you know, there's nobody between Jesus and you. I'm not being mean. I am being truthful. Why in the world would you want anybody flawed or somebody you don't know? Now, I'm not questioning Mary's integrity, but I don't know all that Mary ever done. But I do know what Jesus has done. He went to that cross and nailed up on that cross and didn't come down. And he didn't say it. He said, it is forgive over. He forgiven and it was finished. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. Amen. But to take his name in vain, taking the Lord's name, they'll go, for God's sake. Like, I'm going to step back again. You know why? Because they don't have reverence for his name. You know why? They don't have reverence for Mary and Joseph in Jesus' name. I think you should reverence the name. Can somebody say amen? I think you should reverence the Apostle Paul's name, not in the same light of Jesus and the Father, but our patriarchs that went before us. We should be glad that we had patriarchs to go before us. But they take the Lord's name. People will take the Lord's name in vain. Now, one of the most ones, they'll text it. It's a OMG. OMG. Do I have to say it? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What are they talking about? What do they do? How many understand that's vain? Some of you quiet. You didn't know. You don't know. Now you know. We're going forward. We're going to do better. Isn't that amazing? And that people use and take his name in vain more today than they did when they were in the wilderness. Yeah. Oh, my God. They're going to start. Oh, really? I tease. Jesus, help me. Now, they don't really mean that. They don't really mean they need Jesus to help them. That's a cry out, and it's a curse, and it's a pushback. It's saying something. You know that you know this one? Made it a song, but now people are doing it, and mostly women. Take the wheel, Jesus. I want to know what you're doing in the driver's seat. That's just what I want to know. Yeah, they'll say, take the wheel, Jesus. I'm going to kill one of these kids. Take the wheel, Jesus. Now, does that mean you want Jesus to kill the kid for you? Do you want him to help you kill the kid? Or do you want him to help stop from the child being killed? Or right now, it don't matter. Just you make the call, Lord. What are you going to do? Isn't that crazy? You know, this other one I got problems with. I said, Pastor, he grinded down on that. That other one is people, go, here they go. Y'all ready? Going to come to Jesus meeting. Wait, let me get down here where I can see you. Got this come to Jesus meeting. Now, just think how vain that is. Now, when I think come to Jesus, I think about a life changing, save me from hell. I think about a Jesus that saved me on my way to hell, snatched me up out of the way. I came to Jesus and he saved me. And some people want to get a come to Jesus meeting because I need to get on to you. Because I don't like the way you did it. Now I need a come to Jesus meeting. Do we really understand that? Do people really see what they're doing? Oh, my God. He ain't going to start. What did you say? Uh-huh. Come to Jesus meeting. I got you. Really? How many times you hear that? OMG. Oh, my goodness. All right, he'll go. And then they use the name of Jesus like a curse word. Yeah. I tell you, Jesus, if they don't quit. Yeah. Now, I want to know how many of y'all would slur your mother's name like that. Yeah. Mary, would y'all? Deborah, would y'all? Yeah. Brenda, would y'all? He gets slapped around my house, but... You wouldn't do that for a minute. You wouldn't think of taking your mother's name in vain and saying something about it. You wouldn't take your mother's name. My goodness, I didn't know they needed the vain name thing as bad as y'all did. Amen. But just take it in vain and say it. And just, I don't know what they're going to do. How many times do you think people just violate that and say that? And some people, you know, would never, never, ever use their mother's name that way. The kids is cutting up. Mama Alice. Woo. These kids are driving me crazy. Miss Sarah across the street. You don't hear nobody saying that. Why? You know why? Because people think you're off your rocker, but it's okay in the world to say Jesus. It's okay to say in the world, oh, my God. It's okay in the world to say that, let me get a little time with Jesus for you. Well, You know, millions have violated this. Millions violate this commandment today. And they're saying they got a common slang. My God, when they go, be careful. I tell you, I'm going to pray for y'all to quit lying and get up and pray for me. My mother used to lie to me. She'd tell me, I'm going to get up and whip you. I didn't believe her. But let me tell you, after a while, she had a moment of clarity. She had a moment of clarity, and things got blurry for me. Yeah. When she said she's going to do it, she's going to do it. You know what we ought to do? We ought to be serious about that name. It's more than a name that hangs on the mirror. It's more than a name on a little ribbon. Y'all listening to me? He said, have you no idols? He said, put nobody before me. Don't you have any idols? Don't you take my name in vain? Now, I don't know about y'all, but he sounds pretty serious to me. Yes, sir. That's what we ought to be saying. Four, and I'm getting close because I am not going to get all of them done today. You know, to keep the Sabbath holy. Now, you know, if we as charismatics, you know, because 28 of Exodus says, remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. Now, how many of y'all know that Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath? Yeah. Mark 2:27 says, and he said unto them that the Sabbath was made for man, but not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. Yeah. Now, we keep the Sabbath, or what we would keep our day, is Sunday, because we keep the day that the apostles kept. Had somebody say, well, y'all talk about the Ten Commandments, and when you get to the Sabbath day, y'all don't keep the Sabbath. Yeah, we have a day that we lay aside. Let me tell you what we need to do. It just as importantly is not taking the Lord's name in vain, just as important not having an idol, just as important as not having a God before you, is that we need time for the Lord. Amen. Amplify says it this way. So the Son of Man is Lord even to the Sabbath, and he have authority over it. Amen. See, they said, well, y'all don't do so-and-so. Well, we follow the apostles. It was the first day of the week. I mean, you know how to do after the resurrection, the first day of the week. You know, it's Sunday. A lot of people think Sunday's the last day of the week, but Sunday is the first day of the week because we barely got down here for the last day. And really, we ought to think we started out our first day. Amen. At church, put him first. Put him at that. Doesn't make sense, Amy. You know what we ought to do? When we put him first in our life, and he won't take second place. Can somebody say amen? But we got to have a time and a willingness to serve and recognize God for our life. Amen. You know, I go down there to church sometimes. You know, now listen to me. I preached and I've seen people sleep. Didn't bother me. Amen. Sometimes some at church is the only rest some people get. I understand that. I don't have a problem with that. But you know what we got to do is come to the church, and the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some do. You know what he wants us to do is come to church. We need to have a day. Yeah. We need to have some time. You say, well, brother, I just think I ought to do it every day. Well, I got you. But I think the Sabbath day was a call for all. Yeah. You know what we had to do is have some time. It's call for all. And that we come in and we take time to fellowship. We take time to praise. We take time to lift him up. We come on a certain day to be strengthened. We come on a certain day to be corrected. We come on a certain day. Come on, somebody. Amen. Let me tell you, if you just eat once a week, you're going to be weak. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Come on. Got to read that scripture. Get it out. You know, get that little Bible app and let that little Bible app run. Can you say amen? And my brother-in-law told me something from the scriptures. Now, he reads the scriptures. He told me something. I didn't believe it at first because it just didn't sound right. And you know what I did? I went and looked at it, and he was right. So I'm telling you, some things in there you ain't heard. There's some things in there that you hadn't ingested it all. You hadn't kept it all, got it all. Amen. And he tells us that. That to keep it Sabbath, to keep the Sabbath, to keep a day, keep a time for the Lord. Amen. You know, this is a crazy thing. That they'll work and only got Sunday off, and they figure they need to stay home because it's their only day off. Well, come up, give God 2 hours, and I'll guarantee you he'll take you 24 and do more. Just do a little bit. Come on. How many of y'all believe that God knows you got a life? How many of you know that God knows you got a wife? How many of you know God knows what's going on? Just a day of the week, something like there's a time. There's a time that we ought to just set aside. What now? Let's recap. We'll have no gods before him. He's the only God that we got. Can somebody say amen? Amen. We're going to have nothing going to represent it and going to look at him. Can you say amen? We're going to talk right with his name. We're going to say what he said, and we're not going to say it in vain. We're going to say something. We're going to mean what we say when it comes to him. How many of y'all know God already meant what he said? How many of y'all know it's yes and amen? The promises of God are yes and amen. They're for us. Get to that place that we take time with God, that we take a time with him and have that time set apart that we may be able, come on, that we may be able to increase and learn and grow. I mean, you believe today's a good day to keep them, amen. How many of y'all believe today? Come on, somebody. Can somebody say amen? You know, if you really come to the place to want God to do more, you're going to have to come to the place that you're willing to do more. I said, if you really want God to do more, you got to come to the place that you're willing to do more. You said, Brother Jerry, is it a payoff? No, it's not a payoff. It's a faith thing. It's an interaction thing. Let me ask you one question. I'm getting close. Let me ask you one question. When you have a family, who you cook most for? Your cousins or your immediate family? How you cook? Whenever you pick up some favorite drinks and you pick up you some Coke Zero, do you fix it up for the neighbors or you do it to your family? Yeah. Family, you do those you're in relationship with. You do those that you come together. You know, we all do come together as a family of God. And I tell you, people bump heads in my family. We got a little difference of personalities. Anybody got any different personalities in your house? Amen. Let's don't talk about the crazy cousin, the crazy uncle, the crazy brother-in-law. I told you, if you don't know who it is, it's you. You the crazy member. If you don't know who it is. Well, we ain't got nobody crazy in our family, Brother Jerry. We talking to them, y'all. Hey, a little light on top of their head. It's us. So church folks are not always perfect. Coming down to train is not always easy. Not always hearing things that we like to hear. But how many of you know that when I was a little kid, I didn't really like hearing you couldn't play in the road. For some reason, I wanted to play in the road. I know y'all look at me and wonder how I made it, but I did. But I didn't see any danger in playing in the road. Some people don't see any danger in not putting God first. Some people don't see any danger in using the Lord's name in vain. Some people don't see any danger in having something that's an idol in front of him, whether you know it or you're not. Can somebody say amen? Some people don't know that we're in danger if we don't come and fill up, if we don't come and strengthen up, if we don't make an attempt to be in his presence and in the body of Christ. Oh, you're saying, Brother Jerry, if you don't go to church. I didn't say that at all. I told you that you ought to not forsake the assembling of yourselves together in the manner that some do. We ought to come down here. You ought to bring, come on. You ought to bring you and come in a good mood and at least try to get in one before you leave. And you know what God wants to do? God wants to be God. He wants to be first, amen. He wants us, come on, amen, to allow him. Can somebody say amen? Amen? You know, when you allow God to be who he is, things will change. Can you say amen? Amen. You know, I'm going to go one more. How can you let me do one more? Amen. Uh-oh, this is a good one. This is a good one. Exodus 20 and 12 said, honor thy father and thy mother, that your days may be long upon the earth, and your God is given you. You know what he wants you to do? Is honor your father and your mother. I think we ought to honor our mothers and fathers in the Lord. I think we ought to honor men and women that's got us here where we are. You know, do you know that in the New Testament it said to honor thy mother and thy father, and it says that you receive a blessing? It's the only commandment that you get blessed by doing what you're supposed to be doing. You mean to tell me, Mama, if I go to my room, I'll be blessed? Yeah, you go ahead down and you'll be blessed. I was blessed when I didn't talk stupid to my mama, when I didn't talk stupid to her, amen. You know, sometimes people ought to hold their peace. And sometimes, you know, you had it bad when you was a kid, but you didn't have it that bad, amen. I seen this woman talking to this other woman, and she told her, she said that tending to your business is good for your teeth. She said, yeah. She said, you won't get them punched out tending to my business. Somebody just need to hear that this morning. Huh? Got you a new dental plan. Tend to your business. But he says to honor your mother and your father. Now look, my dad was in prison. I was raised in the projects. I was raised without a father. Come on, I didn't do too bad. Yes, my great granddaughter, who she loves, she say, "Papa, look what he's done." Amen. You know that whenever you love your father and your mother and you honor them, and you know, he's not telling you to make cozy with them. He's just telling you to honor your father and your mother. And he said, your days will be long. You want to live? Honor. Honor. Can somebody say amen? Ephesians 6 and 2 says, and the Apostle Paul said this, the first commandment would promise that God will not back on his promises, for the children own their parents to love them and to be obedient and be respectful and faithful to your parents. You owe it to your parents. Mine didn't. You see, I got released from daddy issues when I started honoring my father. When I said, I got released from daddy issues. I found out there's some grown men I've seen men 80 years old had daddy issues. Yeah. Somebody said, well, they're going to die with them. It looks like if they don't get some change, they are. I agree with you. But you know what he wants you to do? He wants to bless you. He wants to do that. You know, and if we think of this way, God wants us to change the dynamics that have happened in our life through our parents. You know what God knows? He knows not all parents are good parents. He knows that not all parents are honorable. But he tells me to honor them. And he told Israel that it affects your life, your days. How many of you know that when you get to that place that in the last days, you know, 2 Timothy 2 and 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 2, it says that in the last day it would be a sign. Disobedience would be a sign. People don't want to keep the rules. You ever seen that? That's a great thing. You go to the post office or go to a town hall and you'll look and there's a sign there, and that sign says, don't walk on the grass. And right beside that sign, there's a trail. You know what you do, you'll go. People just like to be disobedient. People just like to not honor. You see, if we would honor at home, we could honor outside. We could honor in the church. We could honor in the ministry. We could honor the things that need to be honored. Whenever we learn to get it correct in our life, you need to forgive your mama, forgive your daddy. Listen to me, newsflash, they were just people, and you got some of the like stuff in you. I'm back. But you know that if we would really honor fathers and mothers, if we really would honor the patriarchs, if we would really honor God the Father, if we would really honor what God has put in our life through men and women, you know what it would be? Every day be Mother's Day. Every day be Father's Day. Every day be a good day. If we'd follow the Ten Commandments, there'd be no war. If we did just got what is normal, what's natural. Is it not too much to ask for you not to have anything before him? That's not too much. Is it too much to ask him say not to get something that you have physically that you think gets in between me, some kind of idol? He said, if it's between here and heaven or under the water, he said, you ought not have it. He just ought not take the Lord's name in vain. We ought to honor our mother and our father. I mean, you know that simple, it's simple. But some people don't want to do it. So, Brother Jerry, my dad's dad, my mom's dad. But that's even better. They won't argue with you. It's good to do it. It's good with you. Isn't it amazing? Do you not believe that God knew that sometimes parents don't make the best decisions? Do you believe that God knew that sometimes mom and dad doesn't make the best decision? But you know what your job is? It's to forgive them. You know what your job is? It's to honor them. Paul tells us, dude, that it come with a promise, that something will happen, your life will change, and God will bless you. Isn't it crazy? Isn't he a wonderful God? Stand with me this morning. Isn't it wonderful that you have a God that wants you to do what helps you, and he going to bless you for helping you? I said, he going to bless you for helping you. And give God glory, it's true, amen. I want to encourage you this morning to put him first. I want to encourage you this morning to watch what we say. I want to encourage you this morning to try to get down here and be present and to be here. Amen. I appreciate all the men that came out yesterday. I was hung in a family reunion, and it was a good reunion. No guns, no knives were pulled, so it was good. I always say that because it's true. And they got guns and knives. I don't think they don't. They got guns. But just... this morning, you know, this week's been kind of a tough week for me. I lost one of my parishioners that's been with me for 30 some years. It's just first time I ever preached. First time I was sitting in the audience and they let me go. My preacher, I got ready to preach. I said, I'm ready to preach. He said, son, you can't preach 5 minutes. You'll be preached out. I said, he don't know what he's talking about. I'm gonna tear that pulpit up when I get up there. He said, then he went on. He said, 10 minutes. You won't last 10 minutes. He said, you'll be through. I said, he don't know me. I was about 3.5, 4 minutes out, and I just I needed more time. Can you say amen? But I did have a father in the Lord. Come on. And what we need to do is come down here and believe that God can change our lives and do something for you. He doesn't ask for much. Just through these five, he hasn't asked for much. And he didn't ask for anything that we couldn't do. Isn't that amazing? The world asks you to do things you can't do. I've seen people ask for things they had never do for you, but want you to do for them. Weigh it up and do what you're supposed to. Amen. Man, have need of you. Ought to act like that you're raised right and speak right. Come on. And this morning, I want to tell you that God wants to be first. He wants you to want him to be first. So, Brother Jerry, I don't have any problem. Good. We don't want you to have a problem with it. We want you to be free. We want you to be blessed. Want us to get to that place that we honor him with our lips and that we say. But, you know, Jesus said, the prophet said that they honor him with their mouths, but their hearts are far from him. Right. So just because we say it don't mean that our hearts is in it. We need to put our hearts in it. And, Father, we want what you want, Father. We want to be what you want us to be. We want to be where you want us to be. We want to be better. We want to be to that place that we grow up and mature up and to accept what he has for us. I mean, you believe that, did you? Isn't it amazing how much difference you see from being grown and when you was a kid? See, in the Lord, the more you grow, the more you'll see, the more you'll understand, the more it'll be okay. Amen? Amen. Father, we just come to you in Jesus' name. We just thank you, Father God, for just being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we just ask you, Father God, to help us, Lord God, to put you first in a greater way than ever before. We just ask you, Father God, to touch us so we won't have anything between us. We just ask you, Lord God, to touch us, Lord God, that we just not be a people, Lord, to just speak out and say things like we would have them, Father God, that we would just speak in honor of you and who you are. And we ask you, Father God, touch our lives that we may correct ourselves, Lord God, in our lives, whether it's parents or wherever the area is, Lord God, that we truly, Father God, need you, Father God, to lead us and to guide us and to take us in the direction that we should go. And we thank you, Father God, for herding us up and causing us to be collectively more in your presence and the desire, Father God, to lift you up and see men and women come to Christ. Today, Father, I ask anybody under the sound of my voice, Father God, that needs you, that they'll just simply ask, Lord God, that you'll come into their life and change their life, Father God, and do those things. And Father, the above that we've come short, we just ask you to forgive us. We just repent. We ask you, Father God, to move us forward, Lord God, that we'll do those things. And we know what's in the past is in the past, Father God. And we look forward to the front, Lord, you leading us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise if you would. Amen.